Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Wartime Ghost Stories, Volume 3. The Middle East is a land of rich traditions and deep culture going back millennia. Here is a place long considered to be one of the cradles of civilization itself, and which harbors a history steeped in the strange and the spiritual. It should perhaps not be so surprising at all that this region of the world should hold many unexplained mysteries and tales of the paranormal. And indeed it does. Here's a selection of cases of profoundly odd experiences by those who have made their way through this land of myth and legend to come back with stories that defy all rational explanation. A lot of the weirder paranormal encounters in the Middle East have been experienced by soldiers and servicemen. Such reports are many, and one supremely creepy case comes to us from a military witness who tells of a tale his superior officer had to tell after being deployed in the region. The story is described as follows. He was in the spooky, vague Middle East when there was a commotion from the soldiers watching the perimeter. Apparently, they could see a man about 100 yards away from the camp. He had appeared out of nowhere. No one saw him walking up. The man was just standing there, not doing anything threatening. But since it was a strange man in a war zone, they broke out all the high-tech gear to see what was going on. They could see his face, his clothes, his height, but he looked bizarrely distorted and was not giving off a heat signature. They have infrared, gym jams, and whatnot. It's the freaking military, not a piddling ghost-hunting troop here. He was not the temperature of a human being. He was the temperature of the air around him. They had no idea what was going on, and people were freaking out. They called different people up to come look at the man. It wasn't just a few soldiers who saw this. Dozens of people came to look, and everyone confirmed that it was definitely a person. Eventually, they decided to send out a team to check this guy out. When they got about 50 yards away, the man started walking. Only it didn't look like he was walking toward or away from them, only walking in place. They froze, expecting an attack, but the man never got any closer. It looked like it was trying to walk, but instead of moving like a regular person, its bones were breaking and splintering backwards and forwards at the joints. I can't think of a better way to describe it. Its head was jerking around like a puppet. When the convoy got a few yards closer, it had disappeared entirely. The team hauled ass back to camp, and as soon as they returned, the man thing reappeared in its spot. Everyone took turns watching it for an hour or so until it disappeared for good. Didn't walk away, didn't fly or melt or explode, just stood there for a long time, then vanished. What was the specter? Why did it crawl out of the night to terrify these men before creeping back to from whence it came, wherever that may be? From the country of Iraq comes another bizarre account given by a witness who says he spent a total of 28 months deployed with the army on and off in the country between the year of 2005 and 2009. His strange encounter would happen in the scorching summer of 2006, and it is hard to classify what it could possibly be. The witness says, in the late summer of 2006, my unit was moved from Mosul to Sinjar, which, as some of you may know, is the home to the recently persecuted Yazidi tribe. They were an awesome bunch of people, with more compassion than I was accustomed to seeing over there. They also had a unique set of beliefs, and held Mount Sinjar as a holy site. Mount Sinjar just so happened to be the tallest terrain feature around, and so is also the best site for a communications retransmission station, with a retrans station come retrans security, and that is where the weird begins. I was on duty with another soldier, pulling security on top of the mountain, basically watching avenues of advance to make sure no one got the drop on the commo guys. Around 3 a.m., we saw very clearly in our MVGs a a person approaching us from the base of the mountain, just walking up this goat trail. Not knowing if it was a Yazidi or someone else, we radioed it in and kept eyes on him. At this point, I removed my night vision to give my eyes a break and looked down the hill, but there was no one there. My battle buddy confirmed he still had eyes on, but even with good illumination and the fact that the figure was only about 150 meters away, I couldn't see him. Weirded out, I looked through the TWS, which is a thermal sight, and couldn't see him there either. I put my NVGs back on, and there he was, 100 meters out, just watching. So my question is, what was it? What doesn't show on thermals, but can be affected by infrared? Shadow person? Ghost? Hallucination? What was it indeed? Another report from Iraq seems to suggest some sort of shape-changing spirit or demon, and apparently happened in Baghdad, Iraq. The witness describes himself as having been in the United States Army at the time during a deployment in Iraq, and on this evening he found himself on an extra guard shift through the wee morning hours. He was relieved at around 4 a.m. and headed back to his room, and it is then when something very bizarre would creep up out of the night. According to the witness, I stopped it in my tracks. In front of me, about 30 feet or so, was a black and white cat. I don't know why, but the sight of it caused me to jump, and for some reason I was just afraid. Not typical, like, oh shit kind of fear, but more of like an overwhelming anxiety slash paranoia. The cat just sat there and didn't move, but looked directly at me. Then I noticed something a little odd. I have a cat back in the States who's the absolute light of my life. A black cat with white paws, a white crest, and a little silver white running down the length of his face. This cat looked exactly like mine. Now, obviously, I knew that it wasn't, but the sight of a familiar-looking feline friend was enough for me to somewhat relax the jumpy feeling I had previously felt. I took about 3 steps forward, slung my rifle to my side, and crouched down with one arm outstretched in an attempt to coax the cat to come over. My lips pursed to make a little tick-titch noise when I became completely paralyzed with fear. From my eye level standing of about 6 feet to my eye level crouching of about 3 feet, the animal I was seeing looked completely different, as if my visual perspective completely changed the appearance of the animal. Like one of those optical illusion perspective-based art sculptures, what I was looking at no longer looked like a cat, but a large, broad dog-like animal crouched with its head lowered just inches off of the ground. All rationality abandoned me at this point. All I could do was stare back at whatever it was. I couldn't make out much of a face. The only light source around was from a street lamp about 50 meters behind me past the T-wall. What I was able to make out were its eyes, which I could see clearer than daylight, and they were human. Look into a mirror and open your eyes as wide as you can. That's pretty much what I was looking at. It just stared at me, and I stared back. I will tell you now that I have never been more terrified in my entire life. I slowly stood back up, half expecting whatever I was looking at to take on the appearance of a cat once again, but it didn't. The thing did not move a fucking inch through this whole encounter. At this point, my weapon wasn't even enough to make me feel safe. I backed away slowly all the while, keeping my eyes on what was in front of me. I had just about reached the gap in the T-wall again, where the thing just disappeared. It didn't back away and vanish into the shadows. It just kind of steadily wasn't there anymore. But right before it vanished entirely, I heard what sounded like a low but somehow loud guttural growling noise that resonated off of the T-walls surrounding the area with the rooms. Needless to say, as soon as I passed back through the T-wall, I fucking bolted. I ran as fast as my legs could carry me with all my gear on to my team leader's room across the gravel road. I took a moment to calm myself down before entering the room. I slept on his floor that night, blaming it on the fact that we had to get up early and the alarm on my phone hasn't been working lately. I haven't seen anything since then, but every other night or so when I'm by myself, I'll get that same horribly overwhelming sense of anxiety and paranoia that I got when I first saw the thing. It is interesting to note that shape-shifting entities play a big role in many supernatural encounters throughout the Middle East region. What was described was a soldier who was out on a patrol mission in a bleak desert environment at an unspecified location, saw what appeared to be a pack of hyenas roaming about in the wilderness. This was already unnerving enough as it is, but what made it even odder was that amongst the yipping, growling pack seemed to be a dark humanoid figure with glowing eyes. The witness described the following. I had no idea there were even hyenas out in those parts, and there's a whole pack of them just sort of scampering about. We sort of figured we'd scare them off with some shots, and then one of the guys said something like, what the hell is that? And pointed out what looked like a dark figure, like a man walking with him. The hyenas seemed to be cavorting about him like pets, and it was surreal as fuck. Then we see that it seems that whoever it is has glowing eyes. You can see them sort of glinting in the night. About now, we're all pretty creeped up and our weapons are drawn. One of the guys calls out to this dude and tells him to halt. At first, he just sort of ignored us, but when he called out again, the guy froze, and those goddamn hyenas did as well. They all just sat there in the scrub looking at us. Then, and I shit you not, the human figure just sort of, I don't even know how to describe it. He just sort of hunched over, and then he's a hyena too. Me and the other guys just sort of noped it off out of there after that. If there's any truth to this encounter, then it is interesting to note that some areas of the Middle East and surrounding regions and North Africa actually do have folklore tied to such creatures, so-called were-hyenas, often called the Buddha in some areas of Africa. In Arab folklore, the were-hyenas were known as the Kaftar and said to be vampiric in nature, feeding off the blood of the living, especially that of children. Did this witness see these legendary creatures? What is going on here? Another very weird account of Middle Eastern shapeshifters come from a commenter who tells of a human-animal hybrid thus. So basically, when I was a kid, there was an old folktale that many people kind of believe but didn't, but did, if you get my meaning. There were beautiful women, especially one in particular, that had the legs of a goat, and in some stories, a horse or some other creature. A colleague from work even claimed that his family was visited by one back in the 80s when he was about 8 or 9. Personally, I remember reading something about a pack of women who encountered several people like this at a party who had these attributes. It seems that animal-human hybrids and sightings of them are still a thing, especially in Africa and here in the Middle East. Even globally, werewolves and vampires seem to exist outside of books and films. Besides military high strangeness and shape-changing oddities, there are also some quite creepy accounts from haunted places, apparently very saturated with some paranormal forces. One such place is called Jazirat al-Hamra, which translates to Red Island, and is a ghost town in the United Arab Emirates, founded in the 14th century as a thriving fishing and pearl diving village, only to later be mysteriously abandoned in 1968 for unknown reasons. There have long been accounts of the paranormal activity here, and it is considered to be a haunt for the nefarious jinn of Arab lore. One commenter on the site Your Ghost Story says he decided to go investigate these claims of ghostly activity and described the following. We reached there by 2:30 a.m., most of my friends were spooked and unwilling to enter the village, but I convinced them to come along and told them that they could sit in the car while we explored the place. We were about 12 people in 3 cars, 2 SUVs and 1 sedan. We decided to leave the sedan outside near the main road in case the road was bad and the car got stuck somewhere in the village. So we cramped into the 2 SUVs and entered the village. We found the very thing we were looking for. I could not mistake in the sheer neglect and the complete seclusion of the place. The crumbling walls of the once-lived-in homes, the narrow sandy alleys that meandered around the village, the walls of the derelict village were made up of shells and corals and sands were peculiar red. It was very quiet except for the sea crashing against the shore. The village is a maze of narrow streets and narrow alleyways, covered in a thick layer of sand, punctuated by mounds of rubble and prickly overgrown bushes. The place was truly very creepy. The alleys are so narrow that when you look out of the car window, you are faced with the black interior of the abandoned houses. We reached a large clearing in the middle of the village, where we decided to get out of the cars and snap some pictures of the old houses. We were entering houses together and taking pictures. It was funny to see how nobody wanted to be left alone. Even the ones that didn't want to get out of the car came because they didn't want to be left alone in the car. A few of my friends decided to get their pictures taken in front of the old fort. The camera was a digicam, and when she clicked the picture, she showed us that there was what seemed like a shadow holding my friend around the waist with the head on my friend's chest. We were freaked and tried to click a few more pictures of the same scene, trying to get that image to show up. Well, nothing came up on the other pictures. There were no lights or lamps in the village, and the only light that came was from the moon and the camera flash, so we didn't know what to make of the picture. Anyway, we continued to explore the houses around the village. The atmosphere around the place was almost unwelcoming. While exploring, we came up on a house, which we entered, and each and five of my friends and myself had the same reaction. We felt like we were being punched in the gut and had the urge to throw up. We ran out of the place as we could see shadows emerging from nowhere and thought that this was enough of ghost hunting for the day. We got in the car and everyone was still complaining about having the worst stomach ache ever. We raced out of the village and came up the main road when we started feeling a bit better. We drove away thinking that it was one of the experiences that we could never easily forget. There is also supposedly a very haunted house in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, to which has gravitated all manner of strange tales and weirdness. The house itself is rather decrepit, filthy, and nondescript, easily passed by amongst a myriad of other dwellings that look just like it. At first glance, it seems to be just a graffiti-covered hovel, but according to locals, there is a sinister force residing within, of which the Arab News says. Taxi drivers won't go near it. It acts as a magnet for the Shabab, who are drawn inexorably to its scarred and graffiti-covered walls, but almost invariably stop short of crossing the threshold. Well known among the expatriate community as a place of horror, Jeddah's most haunted house has become a legend in its own lifetime. To date, the story goes 16 people have entered the depths of this decaying pile, never to be seen again. The derelict house stands 100 meters or so from the seafront on the North Corniche. The braver members of the street cruising society have daubed its facade with a graffiti, and the place is quite literally falling apart as it deteriorates into its component parts, so the mystery and myth surrounds it increases in inverse proportion. Certainly, just looking at it, even the daylight produces an involuntary shudder. Crows flap untidily around the crumbling upper works like black rags tossed in the wind. Going through the rusting gates is to walk into a thick silence as the dull roar of the Corniche traffic fades into silence. The eyeless window sockets of the house, once full of warmth and bustle, stare lifelessly at the derelict garden. She is an old lady now, ignored in her decline, but still standing proud, though damaged by the vicissitudes of maltreatment by man and nature. She still retains some of her former magnificence. The Italianate tile and plaster facade, which still exists, towers over the remains of wrought iron railings that edge the marbled front patio. Ornate ironwork rechons decorated with diamonds of blue and white translucent glass, once fixed over the main windows, lie buckled and rusting like iron lacework on a bed of windblown rubbish, slowly sinking into a sea of creepers. 16 people have entered to never return. Is this for real? What in the world is going on here? Who knows? Lastly, we come to what seems to be a haunted villa in the United Arab Emirates, where witness on your ghost stories just brought a one-bedroom flat at a place called Sharjah on the outskirts of Dubai. After a few days of living at the villa without incident, things would slowly creep into the realm of the strange, when the witness said, Me and my wife used to sleep in one bedroom and the child in the other. It was on Friday night when this first incident took place. Me and my wife heard loud screams of our children, and they just barged into our room terrified and sweating profusely. They were so terrified that it took us almost half an hour to calm them down. When asked, the children told us that they saw some shadow on the wall, which was seen hanging from a ceiling fan and moving like a pendulum. We just shrugged it off, saying that it must have been a bad dream, but the children were reluctant to go and insisted to sleep in our bedroom. The same day, both the children were struck with high fevers, and it lasted for a week. Second incident was at the swimming pool when we were having a night swim in the sweltering summer heat. I was sipping my beer and watching the children play with my wife. Suddenly, I saw my wife screaming at the top of her voice. The children were also equally terrified. I immediately rushed to check what's wrong, and my wife was in a complete state of shock and an unconscious state. After some time, when she regained consciousness, my wife told me that she felt two hands grab her legs and tried to pull her into the deeper section of the pool. This was amplified when I saw the imprints of five large fingers over her calf muscles on both legs. Things were just getting out of hand, and we finally decided to call a priest to do some purification. The moment the priest entered the house, he could sense that the house had a spirit which died of unnatural causes. He recited some spells and sprinkled some holy water, and things seemed to come back to normal, which was only a temporary phenomenon. One night when we were sleeping, we could hear an elderly couple quarrel in Arabic, which was coming from my children's bedroom. Children were fast asleep, and I asked my wife not to leave the children alone and went myself to see what was happening. I opened the door slowly and was shocked to find no one in the room, but the quarrel was getting louder and uglier. Me and my wife with the children rushed out into the middle of the night, and as we went, we both could hear a very loud woman scream, and after that there was a pin drop silence. We spent it till dawn in my 4x4 SUV. We approached the owner, and after too much of an argument, he told us that he had leased the house to a couple who were spending quite a few years there. They used to indulge in frequent quarrels due to financial issues, and one fine day the man murdered his pregnant wife and killed himself by hanging from a ceiling fan. We immediately vacated the place and took a house somewhere else to avoid further incidents. No wonder the owner was giving it a dirt cheap rate. Here we have looked at shape-changing specters, ghosts, and maybe even demons and jinns, all part of the landscape of Middle Eastern paranormal phenomena. Is there anything else to these tales of high strangeness and paranormal mayhem? Do these things lurk in the periphery in this land steeped in legend and myth? We can only guess at the answers to such questions, but at the very least it seems that although not quite as represented in mainstream paranormal lore, the Middle East has quite a few mysteries waiting to be uncovered by those who are brave enough to go and check it out. Encounter in the middle of nowhere. A clear, beautiful night sky, and it was all mine, except I was in the middle of nowhere, fucking Afghanistan. I kicked my small foldable aluminum chair to the side and picked up my night vision goggles that were laying on the window ledge of the wooden guard tower shack. I flipped the switch and the darkness lit up in a green filter. I looked out on the barren valley that was surrounded by mountains. Nothing as usual, I muttered under my breath. There was nothing but flat, hard sand and a few flora and fauna shrubs that littered the landscape. As I looked down, I could see the front gate of the base block by LMTV, or a large multi-terrain vehicle. It's basically what like a garbage truck turned into a flatbed. It was painted in shades of green and black, yet these were the bottom-of-the-barrel army versions with cracked windows and missing doors. The green filter blurred as the area came into focus. There were some small floodlights that lit the gate up. Tower 1. This is Soji Radio Checkover, the handheld radio blurted. I twisted the knob on the goggles off and reached down to pick up the radio. Soji, this is Tower 1. I read you Lima Charlie over. I responded, letting him know I was fine. Roger, Soji, out. The radio returned. I looked down at my generic digital watch, and it read 0330 hours. Another beautiful Afghan morning, I thought to myself. I looked down and grabbed the foldable chair, and then I set it down in front of the front tower window. I took my seat, popped the clasp on my Kevlar helmet, and laid it down to my side. The tower was atop some dirt-filled burials called Hescos. It was about 15 feet up with a makeshift stairway leading up to the right side. The backside behind me was the plywood door that was tied to a makeshift door weight system of green nylon cord and water bottles to keep it closed. I looked out in the sky and I started thinking about what I was going to do when I got home. I was imagining going home, getting some Taco Bell. Lord knows why I craved that crappy food. The thought of fake golden nacho cheese of a Crunchwrap filled my mouth with saliva. It would be godly compared to the dry cracked tortillas and the MREs I ate all the time. They came with small bottles of Tabasco, but they paled in comparison to the fire sauce from Taco Bell, which just nipped at your tongue with a bit of heat. Suddenly, a wave of a putrid smell crossed my face and woke me from my daydream. Now, there isn't any plumbing on base, so we had to defecate into buckets and pee in tubes that were dug 10 feet into the ground. It wasn't that smell, which is similar to a porta potty. No, the smell was worse than that. I couldn't wrap my thoughts around what it was like. It smelled like death, like a rotting corpse almost. I took my hands and wrapped them around my face, got up and started looking around the tower. I couldn't stand the smell. It was so strong and getting worse. The smell was so disgusting, like someone took the waste buckets and dumped them on the tower and took a torch to it. Every second, it just fumed, the smell of death and rot and mold. It was like my own skin was rotting on me, and the smell of burnt hair strongly trudged through the air. I looked down at my watch, pressed the light button. 0333 hours, it showed. Except the semicolon on the watch that showed the seconds ticking stopped, and seconds were at 00. The light dimmed and faded out. I hit the button again. The time was locked, and the watch light dimmed again. Then I heard a low raspy mumble, really, very faintly. It was in such a faint and low tone, and it sounded unlike anything I ever heard. It was slow and rhythmic. The sound started getting a bit louder, but still faint. The smell was almost overwhelming, like I was at the garbage dump on a humid summer day. Waves of putrid smell wafted in the air, mocking my nose. Never have I ever wanted to rip off my nose. I plugged my nostrils, but the smell felt like it absorbed through the skin back into the sinuses. My mouth started to taste the air as a foul, rotten taste, like a maggot-filled piece of lukewarm hamburger meat. The foul aroma invaded my throat and attacked my lungs. I heard a clunk out on the stairs that was followed by the low-toned mumbling. I was terrified, yet still under invasion by that horrible smell and the taste. I looked out the right window to see a dark, shadowy figure with engrossed yellow lights peering straight ahead where its face would be. I was paralyzed. My body couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow. Clunk, as it moved up the wooden makeshift stairway. I could visibly see the wood melting and rotting away as it moved over the steps. Fumes of noxious gas wafted around the figure, and it continued to mumble incoherently, rhythmically, faster. Rotgut, I shouted. Somehow, I knew its name. The figure stopped, and the mumbling stopped, and its yellow beam slowly focused on me. I was finally able to look down at my watch, and it had shown 0333 still, and the light of the watch beamed and grew brighter and brighter until everything went blank. Stories from the dark side of Afghanistan. My two deployments to Afghanistan were filled with gunfire, boredom, various combat operations, shitty food, and were overall the most memorable moments of my life to date. It was also a time when I experienced some of the strangest, most unexplainable, and oftentimes creepiest moments of my life. First off, let me give you a basic description of what this country is like, and more specifically, the region I was in. I was in a part of Afghanistan called Helmand Province. It is basically a vast, dry, mountainous desert with temperatures in the summertime reaching as high as 140 degrees Fahrenheit. It's honestly like looking back in time about 2,000 years. The people live in buildings made out of mud, and the only modern commodities they have are a few crappy cars and very limited electricity. The people are a very weathered and haggard-looking race, who look almost as ancient as a treacherous landscape. When nighttime falls and the last trickles of sunlight slowly fade away from the jagged mountaintops, it becomes a totally different place. It's as if the environment changes its mood and takes on a more sinister note. The first story that I'd like to tell became known as the Phantom of First Squad. I was in a platoon of roughly 30 other Marines at a small remote patrol base, and our platoon was broken into three squads. This particular night, it was First Squad's turn to go out on a night patrol. Everything went without incident until the very end of their patrol, when they just had gotten back inside the wire. I happened to be on post that night on watch, and I noticed that there was a Marine patrolling down the empty road by himself. I was alarmed by this, and so I immediately got on the radio and asked if all First Squad was back inside the wire and accounted for, to which the First Squad leader confirmed that they were. I looked back to scan the area for this lone Marine, and he was absolutely nowhere to be found. It was like he just vanished into thin air. We talked about this for a long time afterwards, and it still creeps me out. I don't know if it was the ghost of some poor soul who died out there and now roams the desert on a never-ending patrol or what, but whatever it was, it sticks with me to this day as one of my creepiest experiences. Another story I'd like to share is something that a friend of mine from a different unit shared with me. I'd like to say first of all that this is a totally trustworthy source, with absolutely no reason to make this up. I remember the first time he told me the story, I could see the fear and anxiety in his eyes as he recalled. He was standing watch one night at around 2 a.m., scanning the area periodically with his NVG, which are night vision goggles, when he noticed an animal of some sort about 100 yards away. He said it looked like a very large dog, with ears that pointed straight up, kind of like a wolf. He continued watching for a few more seconds when suddenly it stood upright on two legs and began to walk away towards the local village, arms swinging like a human's would. I would like to note that when this happened, he was fully rested, so this wasn't just some hallucination related to sleep deprivation. However, he just cannot imagine what that thing was.